Blog Talk Radio. Good morning, good morning, good morning. This is the day that the Lord has made, that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it, and be glad in it. Yes, this is the day that the Lord has made. This is Cecilia. I'm going to turn the program over to Minister Sylvia so that she can pray for us and pray with us on this 14th day of April in 2014, this day that the Lord has already made. Minister Sylvia, I turn it over to you.
Well, Apostle, I thank you. But you said 2014, I'm so glad it's 2024, but I thank God for that. We will be praying on today that God teaches us mentally, physically, and emotionally how to pray for our bodies, minds, and spirits to line up with His Word. God, I thank you for the opportunity to come before you to say, Lord, I just want to be in your presence. I just want to be a part of your heavenly choir. God, I just want to say how much I love you. I just want to tell you that I can't go another day without you. God, I need you every day of my life. God, I come before you and just ask you to forgive me of every sin, and everyone that's touching and agreeing with me, to forgive us of every sin, God, knowingly, unknowingly, willingly and unwillingly, of commission or omission, God, we just want to say, forgive us, O Lord. As we walk this life, God, we know we need you. We depend on you and we trust you. God, give us ears to hear on today, a heart to receive on today, a mind to meditate on today, and a heart to hold on to your word, to bear your word in our hearts, that we won't, sin against thee. God, we just thank you for this opportunity, this Sunday morning, that we're listening to Smile 3E, Iron Sharpening Iron. We just want to be a part of what's going on in your kingdom. Teach us, God. Teach us how to desire to line up with your word from our mind, body, and soul, to become as one in the body of Christ. God, I thank you for today. Amen. And it's back in your hands, Apostle.
Amen, amen, and thank you for that correction. I would pray that all of us can accept correction because many of us can give it, but we sure can't take it. And don't let it be one of our pet sins that someone corrects us on. So I thank you, Minister Sylvia. I thank God for even bringing it to my attention on this 14th day of April in 2024. It is an awesome privilege to be here on today. And when I say this is the day that the Lord has made, it doesn't matter what's going on in your life as long as God is first. So let's do a recap of the previous several Sundays and weeks that we've been teaching on the subject envy. Well, the first time we talked about all of the different types of envy that led to the very plague of envy that we deal with on today. And so the first week we talked about the devil's envy for and about God and God's sovereignty, and Eve's envy of God's knowledge and wisdom, you know, dealing with the tree of life and so many others. We talked about Cain and Abel, and we talked about the prodigal son, and we talked about Joseph and his brothers, and we just did a recap of several examples of envy operating in the Bible. And then the second week we came back and we broke it down to talking about Cain and Abel, Joseph and his brothers, and the prodigal son. Why? Because we wanted to talk about how envy isn't something that just happens with strangers, but it's something that was in the Garden of Eden, not only with Eve, but then it was passed down to their children with Cain and Abel. Wow, our brother killed his own brother, not just spiritually, but physically. And how Joseph's brothers tried to basically kill him without killing him by selling him and into slavery. But you want to know what was so phenomenal about that case? That God used the very sibling that they sent into slavery to save them. Isn't that how God is? And then during that week, we also talked about the prodigal son and his brother and how his brother envied him because his father had allowed him to go out and sow his oats, as people would say, or be human. And I could easily relate to that because I have some very strict parents. And when I joined the military and I saw all of those biceps and those triceps, it was like being in Treasure Island of biceps and triceps. And they had a motto to be all you could be in the Army. And my God, thank God I had a praying mama and people that loved me because I was definitely being all I can be. And when I came back to God, like the prodigal son, he not only put the coat of many colors that Joseph's father had put on him. And he not only put the ring on my finger, but he restored me to. How many of you have been restored? My. And then the second week on that second Sunday, we talked about how envy from so-called friends and battle buddies, based off of their insecurities of your leadership, or just because you're strong, just because you're smart, just because you're innovative, just because you're creative, just because you're loyal, just because you're a warrior, instead of them celebrating you, they're jealous and they're competing with you and they're allowing their insecurities to come in between what could be a great partnership and spreading the great commission, the good news. You know, because Saul was king, and yet he envied David when David was one of his warriors, and he wasn't king at that time. But the people were bragging on David all the time. How many of you can truly say that God is still working on you? Because you always got to be the center of attention. You always got to break into someone's celebration or things of that sort. Well, I was talking to someone about how I wanted to talk to someone about something they had been doing that was frustrating me and irritating me. And I wanted to do it real soon. And God said, not now. Wait, not now. I'm preparing the person's heart. For when you release this, it's going to be in a way that's going to deliver them from so many strongholds that they're suffering from their mother, from their father, from their siblings. It's bigger than you, Cecilia. So just shh, Sila, and wait. See those so-called friends. I'm also learning that with that, we were playing in a game, and my sister talked about it during her ministry because her and I had talked about it, and how this certain person that just kept killing me in this game we were playing, Mafia, and I couldn't figure out what was going on, and then God revealed it to me, and I realized that that is a spiritual connection that my sister has with someone that she called her brother, and that I also needed to include them in my life as a brother. And I had not fully done that. And so God is working on me that I will be able to do that, but it's also because as he's going to release that message in me to them, he's going to release me because of my, what I call, don't touch me spirit. And that's a whole nother message. My sister talked about that too. And it's amazing how that don't touch you spirit is really a gift from God, from the discernment of God. Because we're letting a lot of things and people touch us. My. That's a whole nother message, and control us. And God is saying, you need to tell that demon to get out. You need to tell that demon they're not welcome. You need to tell that demon that I don't care what it looks like. I need for you to know that not only do I see you, cast you out. And sometimes these insecurities that we're dealing with other people is so that God can help us to minister to the youth, because many youth are experiencing things just because they've never been taught. Minister Sylvia had talked about how her son, over the course of their lives, would pray for her. Why? Because he was taught to pray. We talked about how Minister Brandon would carry me and care for me whenever I was having flares with sciatica, irritable bowel, or different things of that. And so now he takes care of his children and his wife in such a way that he's so caring. But it was because God used that time with me to instill the protector in him. And he also learned it from my father. And then during the fourth week, we talked about envy is really jealousy over the blessings and achievements of others, such as how the devil was jealous of all of the greatness and the achievements of God, and how he took that jealousy and he perverted the very heart of Eve so that she became jealous of God as well, his knowledge of good and evil. I've worked places where I've been a leader, and I've worked places where I've been a follower. And when I was a follower, I wanted to make sure that my leader succeeded. I didn't mind being in the background. And they would some type of way always, in God's timing, push me to the front. But how many of you know not everybody wants to be in the background to help their leaders succeed? Their jealousy and envy is there. How many of you realize that there are some siblings, that other siblings and other relatives and strangers will try to use to cause them to envy you instead of love you? You're loving on them. You're trying to help them to succeed. But this other person or people are making them think that you're so terrible. It's because of envy. It's because of insecurity. And so although many times those other people look secure in what they're doing, they're really envious of you and have always been all the time. And although you've done things to support them, because of your achievements and your blessings, my God, they have that Cain and Abel spirit upon them where they want to kill the very blessing and blesser that God has placed in their lives. And then during that fifth week, we talked about Miriam and Aaron's envy of the connections between God and their brother. How many look at the various apostles and the ministers and the teachers, and they see your uniqueness. They see the call of God on your life. They see the special connection that you have with God. They see how you love him as your sovereign God. But yet, they become jealous of that connection. So much so, they say, God talks to me too, in a resentful, competitive manner. So much so that with Miriam and Aaron, God had to put leprosy on Miriam. And Aaron was smart enough to go to Moses and ask him, ask God to be merciful. Many of us don't understand the uniqueness, the call of God on our lives. We don't understand the various things in our lives that's causing us not to be able to be catapulted, full throttle, as they would say, full navigation system, full warp system, into the call and destiny in your life because of the agents that have been sent in your life to keep you distracted, because of the flesh that's been sent to keep you distracted. And then we talked about the envy the next week that escorted Jesus to the cross. Don't you know that some people are going to escort you into your destiny? Some are going to escort you in a positive way, and some are going to escort you in a negative way. Some are going to escort you just because they keep obeying God and telling you what God has said, because they don't want you to turn into a reprobate. But see, many people think they can keep doing what they're doing and ignoring the voice of God, and they think God is playing. Well, God's not playing. He just keeps giving you opportunity after opportunity after opportunity. And he's hoping that one day you will listen. And the good thing about it is that when you serve a God like we serve, that loves you that much, wow. Do you even understand the magnitude of that love? I don't think you do. I don't think I do. I don't think I understand the magnitude of the love of my God that sent his only begotten Son to die for each and every one of us. My, 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 my. Well, on today, I don't know if this is going to be the last part of envy that God is, you know, speaking about and to the audience and to myself, because, you know, we're the first partakers of the word. But I do know this. I know that today he wants me to talk about the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Why? Because the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they led Jesus to his death of the cross that we talked about last week. And that same Pharisee and Sadduceic mindset still plagues the earthly church today, causing spiritual and natural deaths, emotional struggles, people to be in reprobate states just because some of those Pharisees and Sadducees are being used. Yes, they are, by God. And we have to learn how to accept what God allows. See, there's various ways that we walk in disobedience because of pledges that we've made to our flesh. We don't even realize we made a pledge to our flesh because God says, stop, 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 don't. See? seek me, seek me, seek me. Trust me, trust me, trust me. And yet ignoring God because our flesh is more of our God than our God. Our flesh doesn't want us to trust God. Our flesh doesn't want us to trust God in our money. Our flesh doesn't want us to trust God. It wants us to trust our academic achievements and intellect and education. Our flesh wants us to trust our credit score. Our flesh wants us to trust our so-called friends and the organizations that we are part of and affiliated with. Our flesh wants us to not truly be dedicated to God. You know, this ain't about being halfway in and halfway out. This is about being out thinking you're in the first place. Why? Because God seems to be hot or cold, not lukewarm. So if God said to be hot or cold, that means there's no in, halfway, a quarter way, 75% way, 99.99999. It's in or out. And how are you in or out? Through Jesus. Through the reconciling, restoration, blood of Jesus. Through the love of God. Through trusting God. You know, there are so many people thinking they have secrets. You know, the downloads, the secret cults, the devil making you think that what you're doing is okay. If it wasn't okay in Genesis to Revelations, it's still not okay. We have various groups that say, well, they hate me because they said that what I'm doing is wrong. If what I did was repeat what's in the Bible, I don't hate you. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. If what I tell you is biblically founded, I don't hate you. I'm not even trying to do anything other than obey God. So if I'm frustrating the struggle in your life, accept what God allows. Because, see, some of us have our own expectations that don't align with God for our lives. And we try to stay in that same place for year after year after year after year. Some areas God's not still working on you. Let's just be point blank. Some areas God is not still having you under reconstruction either. Some places, as Apostle Sandra Thomas would say, it's just your pet sin that you don't want to let go. It's just your pet stronghold that you don't want to let go. And although you may read the Bible and say, I can't find it in there, if you look at what God calls abundant life, if you look at what God calls healthy living, if you look at what God calls faith, if you look at what God calls healing and freedom and victory, anything, anybody that bounds you or causes you not to be able to do the thing that God has called you to, that's not God. Isaiah 53:4 says, who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, as a root out of the dry ground. He hath no form, comeliness. When we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. We hide as if it were our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. It's talking about Jesus. How Jesus rather pleased God than his flesh, not his fears. That's why he ended up saying, not my will, but your will be done. Not an instant or moment of doubt when he said, can this cup pass from me? Not in an instant when it sounded like he didn't trust God, when he cried so till it was like drops of blood. But in his humility and in his honesty, he knew, I'm not going to be playing ignorant. I'm not going to be playing dumb or deflecting. I'm not going to act like I don't know what's in my life that's hindering me. In the Bible, God asked his people, who has beguiled you? Because the Moabites had fooled the entire nation of Israel to listen to them. They had began to settle in and play with the prostitutes instead of being faithful to God. They had began to sacrifice to the Moabite gods and bow down to them instead of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And so then God's anger was kindled towards them for committing these sins with the Moabites that they knew was a sin. See, it doesn't say that they thought was a sin. They knew. They had been hearing it from the north, the south, the east, and the west. If you're hearing something from several places, go to God and ask him, God, what are you saying? If you don't know. But if you do know, ask God to obliterate and annihilate that very appetite causing you to be beguiled with the very plague of disobedience that the Israelites had. One of the scriptures says, the son of Aaron, the priest, has turned my wrath away from the Israelites because he was jealous with my jealousy among them so that they did not destroy the Israelites and my jealousy. See, when God becomes jealous, the scripture even goes on to say, and this shall be for him and his descendants after him a covenant of everlasting priesthood, because he was jealous and impassioned for the unique honor and respect owed to his God and made atonement for the sons of Israel. How many of you are jealous to the point that you're angry because people aren't honoring and respecting God? Some people say they're living riotous living, you know, like the prodigal son. They're doing this and they're doing that. But the very truth of the matter is you're not hating it because you want to be able to do it and make it in too. But guess what? You have a unique call on you. You have the coat of many colors. You have the ring of restoration that the prodigal son received. You can't do what everybody else do. And you've known that all your life. So don't try to act like you forgot that. The verse 17 and 18 goes on to say, and provoke hostilities with the Midianites and attack them. For they harass you with their tricks, and the tricks with which they have deceived you in the manner of the Baal, the false god. The daughter of the leader of the Midian, their sister, who was killed on the day of the plague because of the worship of Baal. See, Numbers 25 and 11 lets us know that God is intolerant of our unfaithfulness, and he will not tolerate the transfer of his honor and worship that's due to him to any being or object, and that includes our flesh. Numbers 25 and 13 talks about how once we repent, how God reconciles us back the same way he reconciled the Israelites, even when he was angry with them. See, in the Old Testament, God had asked the people, who had beguiled you? But look what happened. In the New Testament, he had Apostle Paul to come and ask the Galatians, who has bewitched them. Galatians 3 and 1 says, who has bewitched you? It's where the Apostle Paul rebukes the Galatians for turning away from the gospel of grace. Not excuses. Not lies. Not deception. But the gospel of grace. Some of us have been deceived. Some of us are walking in the disobedience to obey the very truth of the crucifixion. Some of us want to argue with God. Some of us want to persuade God that what we're doing is okay. But God has sent me today to tell myself, to tell you, that he wants us to return back to Christ and to Christ alone. Once again, Galatians 29, the first verse says, O you foolish and thoughtless and superficial Galatians. I'm going to put my name there, Cecilia. Who has bewitched you that you would act like this? To whom right before your very eyes, Jesus Christ was publicly betrayed and betrayed and crucified in the gospel. Verse 2 says, this is all I want to ask you. Did you receive the Holy Spirit as a result of obeying the requirements of the law? Or was it the result of hearing the message of salvation with faith and believing? Verse 3, are you so foolish and senseless, having begun your new life by faith with the Holy Spirit, with the Spirit? Are you now being perfected and reaching spiritual maturity by your flesh? That is, by your own works and efforts to keep the law? Have you suffered so many things and experienced so much all for nothing? If indeed it was all for nothing, so then does he who supplies you with his marvelous Holy Spirit and works miracles among you do it as a result of the works of law which you perform. But because you believe confidently in the message which you heard with faith, just as Abraham believed God, it was created to him as righteous, as conformity to God's will and purpose. And so it is with you also. So when we understand that our confidence is to be in God, in his will, conforming to his purpose, living a life of confidence and faith in him, in his power and his goodness and his blessed assurance and his favor and his promises, be free from the guilt of sin and the penalty of sin. Why? Because of the Holy Spirit on the inside of us that will take away the very appetite to walk into that cursed, condemned destruction that our flesh and the law wants us to practice and to keep justifying. We must rest in knowing that Christ has purchased our freedom and redeemed us from the curse of the law and its condemnation. Because it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs crucified on a tree, the cross. In that order, Christ Jesus died on the cross for each and every one of us. And that covenant he has with us is binding, but yet is modifiable because it's up to us to decide to walk by faith and not by sight. It's up to us to know that our flesh and the enemy wants to abolish the very promise of our inheritance that is based on observing the promises of God that was given to us by the virtue of a promise between the mediator of Jesus Christ and God. And he is the only mediator that can restore us back to God. Accept the inheritance. Accept the blessings of salvation. Accept the promises of faith. Accept and acknowledge Jesus, who is God's precious Son, and the fact that he's annihilated and eradicated the curse of the law that has tried to imprison you over and over and over again. But now faith in God has come, that you will no longer be under the control and the authority of the disciplinarian, but that you will be transformed and renewed and reminded of your sanctification through Jesus Christ. Why? Because God perfects those things that concern him. You concern him. He's justified you. He's made you free of the guilt of sin and the penalty of it. And now your faith in Jesus reminds you that you need to confidently have faith in that fact that you're free. You don't have to keep returning to your vomit because you're free. You can ask God to take the appetite away and the excuse away. I'm asking God to help me understand that every time I obey my flesh, I'm saying to Jesus, I'm envious and against the very sacrifice that you made for humanity in me. Help me to walk in the Spirit that dwells on the inside of me so that Jesus, I celebrate you. I align with you. Your Holy Spirit, God, is on the inside of me. And I submit and I surrender my all to your Holy Spirit. Show me, Heavenly Father, any area in my life that I'm saying I dishonor and disobey the authority that you've given the Holy Spirit that's on the inside of me. That thing that grieves the Holy Spirit. Thing that makes me think I'm supposed to be kicking this Holy Spirit out every now and then instead of welcoming the Holy Spirit of God to rest and abide on the inside of me. As Jesus even reminded us in John 15, verses 4 and 5, abide in me and I in you. Branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. And I am the fruit, I am the vine, I am the branches, I'm that place, I am that fruit that nothing can separate me from you but you. I'm that truth, I'm the authority of the Spirit of God that's on the inside of you that's saying, surrender, submit to the power and the unctioning of the Holy Ghost. Because see, the will of God for you, the will of God for me, is that we know that 1 Corinthians 6, verses 19 through 20 says, or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own. For you were bought at a price. Therefore glorify God in your body, in your spirit, which are God's. Is what you're doing glorifying God? God's given that are his own, the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, and faithfulness. God wants us to know that although mankind may be envious of a relationship that we have with God and that they try to distort the truth in harmful, demonic way. They try to distort and blind others what we're doing and what we're saying. They actually try to get us to walk in fear in what's right society and groups and girls groups and VP groups and president groups and this group and that group and even the grouping in our own mind. Some of us are our worst enemies. And I pray today that this intentional seeking of the addiction of envy and pleasing our flesh will come subject by us rejecting it. And it will become subject to the Spirit, not us thinking this about our reputation or that about our reputation, but that we will submit to the very authority in our God-given purpose and destiny, and that we'll get a zeal and an appetite again to the things of God, those God-given destinies. I say it with the plural, those God-given purposes. And that we will avoid the destructive, demonic, addictions connected to envy. Father God, search me. And if you find any of those things in me that I should hate, according to your word, those deadly sins, those things that are not pleasing in your sight, I ask you, Father God, annihilate, obliterate, destroy that very appetite and desire to get in the way of your Holy Spirit. Father God, don't take your Holy Spirit from me. And I pray that this is the prayer of those listening, God, so that we can have an eternal and everlasting hunger and thirst and craving to please you and to never, ever, 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 ever again try to quench you or grieve your Holy Spirit, but live a life that wants to satisfy you continually, always. For you said, the Father seeketh such to worship him. For they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Allow us to be able to handle the truth. Not just allow it, God, but to be able to handle it. No excuses, no deflections. Holy Spirit, have your way, Holy Spirit. Have your way. Have your way. Begin it in me, God. Have your way. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Minister Sylvia, program back over to you. Minister Sylvia, are you still there? Okay, I don't know where Minister Sylvia is, but I'm going to go ahead and, give the announcements. First of all, our foundational scripture is Matthew 6 and 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Don't forget that tomorrow, which is Monday, we will have Iron Sharpening Iron at 8 p.m. Central Standard Time, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And so I would invite each and every one of you not to miss it. It's the 15th. That's right. It's the 15th day of April. 2014. That's what I said earlier. But guess what? It's 10 years later. It's actually 2024. So isn't that amazing that I understand that we make mistakes, but we don't stay there? So tomorrow, join Minister Sylvia as she obeys God. And then on Wednesday, join her at 4 p.m. Central Standard Time, 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for devotion that she shares. And then come back on Friday with Minister Sylvia again and share with Minister Sylvia as she does Let's Talk and her devotion once again to the ministry of God. And that's at 9 p.m. Central Standard Time, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And then if you're not busy, you can come back again on next Sunday when it'll be me, myself, at 9:30 a.m. Central Standard Time, 10:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, where we'll be handling whatever the Lord says. And those are the announcements. Minister Sylvia, are you back yet?
Yes, I am. Thank you for covering. We are so excited about the word on today, and we thank God for teaching us how to take different situations and see God's glory in it. And we just want to say we thank you all for being a part of Smile3E, Iron Sharpie, Iron Ministries. And we look so forward to you all every Sunday when we stand on the scripture, Matthew 6:33, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." So if that's it, woman of God, I pass it back to you.
All right. So don't forget, this is the day. This is the day that the Lord has made, that the Lord has made. I will rejoice, I will rejoice, and be glad in it, and be glad in it. So rejoice and celebrate your sisters and your brothers and the people that you know and the people that you encounter. Celebrate them. Introduce them to Jesus. Yes, yes, yes. Introduce them to Jesus, who is the way to restoration and reconciliation. Okay. We'll see you later. Don't forget, join us tomorrow. Bye-bye.
Okay, I'm back on the air. Give it a few more minutes. A few more minutes. I hope they call in. Okay, I just sent out a reminder text to my family. Don't forget family prayer time today. And with that being said, I'll just go right into prayer. And once I say, anyone else want to pray, please just jump in and pray. We can never have too much prayer, one for another. Let's go, let's go, let's go. Father God, I thank you for opportunity to come before you with and about my family. I thank you for the opportunity to pray with and about my family because I love my family, oh God. God, we have a very special family tie, a very special family seed. We have a gift that was deposited to us before we were born, oh God. Our mother taught us how to pray. She prayed over us from the time we were conceived until we got here and so on. And because of her prayers and her tears, God, we're still reaping the benefits of God's blessings because of the prayers of our mother and grandmother. God, we thank you for protecting us, for keeping us, even when we try to do things our way. But God, I thank you for pulling us back, pulling us and putting us into submission to your word, oh God. For those of us that are still struggling and fighting, oh God, we ask you for mercy. We ask you for long suffering with them, oh God. God, for we know your word already says that you do put up with us, long suffer with us, that you acknowledge us without ignoring us, oh God. God, we thank you for the blood of the Lamb. We thank you for your Son, Jesus. Jesus, we thank you for staying on assignment for us. We thank you, oh God, for covering us from the time we wake up to the time we go back down. God, we just thank you for covering us throughout our lives, throughout our days, God, cover our families. God, put it in their heart and their desire, the peace and the joy of knowing your family wants to touch and agree. Your family wants to pray with and for you and over you, oh God. God, put in their heart that this is a special time of joint and corporate family time of prayer where we can stand together and put our requests into God. We can take the vision, God, write it on the wall, oh Lord. God, I just want to say, I lay my family at the altar as I hold on to the horns of the altar, pleading the blood, the blood, the blood. God, take us through this week and the rest of our lives, oh God, with your loving and caring arms around us in your hand, oh God, just carry us in your hand, O Lord. God, keep all harm, evil, danger, death, carjacking, misidentification, identification. God, keep everything that the enemy has for our family and for us. Keep it access the word, O God. Cut it up and destroy it, O Lord. God, for we just, when sometimes we don't understand, God. Prayer is not a something to do. It's the ultimate gift we have. For we can talk to you, oh God. The line, the prayer line is never busy. It's never unscheduled. It's never out of order. But God, whenever we come to you in prayer, we can always get through to you, oh God. God, we just thank you from the oldest to the youngest. God, we just thank you. As the woman of God said earlier in her program, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. For this is the day that the Lord has made. Yes. God, we thank you. As we enter into your courts of thanksgiving, and we enter into your house of praise with praise, oh God. As we enter into this life choice of saying, God, because of you and everything I know you've done, I've seen you do, God, for me and my house, we will serve you, oh God. God, we put our house and family and self under Holy Ghost arrest, oh God. Teach us how to say, God, I want you to teach me how to demand that my body and my mind, soul, and spirit lines up with your word. Come into agreement with your word, oh God. Lord Jesus. Oh, my God. When there's so much on the table, when there's so much, so many are asking for, oh God. God, let us give it to you and don't take it back. God, let us give it to you and don't worry about it. God, let us give it to you and know that it's done. God, we trust you, God. God, I ask you to let the prayer life and line fall in my house, oh God. Let the desire to get to talk to you even more, to want to talk to you even more, God. Lord, teach us how to know that if we keep you first and keep you only, all things will work out for your glory, oh God. God, teach us. Teach us, oh Lord. Take us back to when we first fell in love with you, oh God. Take us back to when we first said yes, oh God. Take us back, God. We first depended and trust you and knew that there is nothing too hard for you, that there is nothing you can't do. Take us back, oh God. God, teach us that even when we don't know what to say, and we say, Lord, I don't know how to talk to you, I don't know what to do, God, teach us that we could just get in your presence and just ask you, oh Lord, to accept what comes out. To understand, God, you even understand and accept the moaning of your people. God, teach us how to talk to you. Teach us how to pray to you, oh God. Teach us, Lord. Teach us, God, as we go out into the highways and byways on the day, as we ride, as we walk, as we talk, as we sit around, oh God. Let us enjoy today, oh God, knowing that you will get the glory. Let us allow our life be a testimony to you today, oh God. Let our requests that we put out there before you, oh God, let them be met. Let them be met. As our family reach out and ask for information of this or information for that or help with this, help with that, God, teach them how to pray and ask you first that you will open a door, you will touch somebody's heart, you will make it happen for them, oh God, but they must put and keep you first, oh Lord. God, I thank you. I thank you, God. Lord, I thank you that my family won't always be like this. They won't always be caught wanting. God, make them the head and not the tail. Make them the lender and not the borrower. God, we just ask you right now, God. Meet the need, oh Lord. Meet the need, oh God. In the name of Jesus. Is there anyone else who would like to pray at this time?
Father God, I pray that you will restore and reconcile us back to honor and respect. God, when a sweetie would call for prayer, we were there. When our mother would call for prayer, we were there. God, teach us how to honor and respect the fact that Minister Sylvia has called for prayer, and they should be there. We all should be there in the same manner as we were when a sweetie called for prayer, when our mother called for prayer. God, the root cause of no one being here on today, God, I thank you for identifying it as a destructive spirit of jealousy, competition, and envy that outside sources, and in some cases our siblings, have put in place, obliterated, annihilated, destroyed. Replace it with love and unity, as the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost has. Bring us back together. Teach us how to talk to one another and how to handle one another. Some of our tongues are like serpents. Some of us don't know how to honor one another. Some of us allow outside forces in our families, in our homes, in our friendships to destroy the unity that ain't sweetie and our mother had. Pass it down, God. Pass the mantle down. Ah, kerano sedana mokorara basha. Satan, go. In the name of Jesus. Restore the honor, God. Restore the respect, God. Restore the unity. Restore the faith that we once had, the trust that we once had for one another. America is operating in deflection, in envy, oh God, in disrespect, and it's created to our family. God, have us go in the name of Jesus. Begin it in my home first. Begin it in my home first. It's not my brother. It's not my sister. It's not my niece. It's not my nephew. It's not my greats. It's not my in-laws. But it's me, oh Lord. Begin it in me, God. I take authority over you, Satan, in the name of Jesus. Restore. Begin it in my relationship with you, God. But I won't ask for something that I'm not giving you, God. Restore. Oh, God, place Jesus in the hearts of all of our DNA. Biologically first, God. Jerusalem first. And every demonic force, expose it. Decode it. Destroy it. For this enemy we see today, we will see no more. But we will see your love, your unconditional love, in the way we handle one another, in the way we speak to one another. That rude spirit got to go in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
That lack of respect and honor for one another got to go in the name of Jesus. We had a great example with our mother and her brother and her sisters. God, even if we don't look at that example, we can see the example of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Honor. Respect. Unity. Trust. Love. Long-suffering. Joy. My God, the fruits of the Spirit. Not just lip service, God, but action. When you go and you see a movie, the person in charge said, action. And everybody did what they were supposed to do. God, I cry out for action. Within Lula and Hughie's DNA. Action.
Yes.
Minnie, yes. Mary, your children. Action. Sheila, your children. Renee and Stan, your children. Cecilia, your children. Action. Narabashe, kararamorosa. Because you said, for loving kindness have I drawn. Take us back to the action of family, the action of honor, and to be glad about it, that we want to hunger and thirst and crave the action, not because we're trying to get something by performance, but that we are trying to be Christ-like in our actions and our behaviors. Not for the thing of law and order, but for the thing that you call love. Agape love and action. Unity and action. Love and devotion and action. We're getting to the root of the cause.
Yes.
In the name of Jesus, we won't ignore you anymore. We won't avoid you anymore. We won't, as they say, ignore the elephant in the room, for this is not an elephant. This is a demonic spirit and force, and we come against you. We say that we see you, and now that we see you, we say, go. Your time your season. Your trespassing is not welcome here in the name of Jesus. For your glory, God. For your glory. Teach us the benefits of honor. Teach us the blessings of honor. Teach us the blessings of respect and unity. Don't let us leave this earth until it's been restored in the Kaiser and Seabury family. We've got a lot of things on our bucket list, God. But put on our list love and trust and honor. We're lacking. We're debilitated. We're suffering from malnutrition in our love for one another. We need a balanced diet of your word, God. Whatever it takes, God. Whatever it takes. But I ask you, God, for your mercy and grace. Don't let it take another death to bring us together. But let it be a family reunion orchestrated by you, God. Whether it's physical or supernatural, whatever it takes, God. Let us see it on this side of heaven. You said we have not because we ask not. You said that there's one can chase 1,000, but two can put 10,000 in chase. You said that there's power in agreement. You said we have not because we ask not. So once again, God, I'm asking you, the all-powerful God, the all-knowing God, the ever-present God, the all God of our family, of this nation, our money says, in God we trust. Make our minds say, in God we trust. Make our hearts say, in God we trust. Make every fiber of our total being say, in God we trust. And not only to say it, but to mirror it. In Jesus' name, these things I ask you according to your will, your way, your thoughts, and your authority. Do it, Lord, like only you can do. And in this, you shall be glorified. Amen.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for this time, oh God. Thank you for bringing us together. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. In Jesus' name, we thank you for the overwhelming joy, overwhelming love, overwhelming desire to be with the family, not just to eat physical food, but God, to come together to eat up the love we have for each other, to eat up the desire we have to love you, oh God. Stop letting us put everything and everybody before you, God. The first thing you did, God, when you created Adam and Eve and put them together was create a family. God, give us a family of love, a family that loves you, oh God. God, take away the Cain desire of love, oh God. God, for we want you to teach us how to love you. Teach us how to love one another. Jesus' name, we seal this prayer with the love of God, with the blood of Jesus on it, that from this day forward, we will not be the same, God. Visit us in our dreams, God. Minister to us in our dreams. Take us back. God, we thank you. Your word says you have hearts with one another. Take it to them. Whatever hearts their family have with one another, God, let them bring it to them so they can straighten it out before they have the shoulda, couldas, and the woulda. God, we just ask you to take us in your loving arms and just let your love infatuate us, oh God. In Jesus' name, we pray this prayer. We won't take it back. We will add more to it before we take it back. Amen, amen, and it is so. Thank you, Apostle, for joining in with me on the prayer. Thank you for loving on the family the way that you do. Thank you for being our guiding light. Thank you for being an example for us to see love and to know love and to just have love, oh God. I thank you. I thank you. I thank you for the example. Amen. Okay, thank you, Apostle. Bye-bye.